Okay, recording.
Hi everyone, I'm Keisha Taylor-Wesseling for A Collection podcast, and today's episode is going to be a bit different. I am absolutely delighted to speak with Muhammad Mwakil, lead singer of Freetown Collective, who joins us with his guitar. And so we start and end with beautiful music. He brings us into his world and offers wise words and provoking thoughts on life, love, music, technology, and political economy. Enjoy.
Yeah. Written clearly on the walls, I saw it there one day. Most know the truth about life, but most are afraid to say. Some say it's too little, some say it's too much. Some say there's just enough for every one of us. Some live, some die, some are waiting for their time. Some hope, some cry, some are raging from their fires. Some disperse, some are lost, some will never, ever find. Some don't care what it costs, some are paying with their lives. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen, amen. Sometimes you want to speak and the truth gets stuck in your throat. Sometimes you do the right thing and Lord, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you move forward, sometimes you stand still. It's all in the master's hands, it's all a part of his will. And some live, some die, some are waiting for their time. Some hope, some cry, some are raging through their fires. Some despair, some are lost, some will never, 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 never find. Some don't care what it costs, some are paying with their lives. Amen, 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 amen. Written clearly on the walls, I saw it there one day. Most know the truth about life, but most are afraid to say.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, I felt that.
Bob Marley sang, "When music hits you, you feel no pain." The Caribbean has a new timeless musical sound, musical medicine for our generation, coming from Freetown Collective in Trinidad and Tobago, which resonates with the grace that came before. Music is powerful. In helping to ease our pain, it helps us understand our collective consciousness, our humanity, much needed in these very trying COVID-19 times. Today, I am delighted to speak with Muhammad Mwakil, lead singer of Freetown Collective, and a very special guest. We'll have a chat about his music, which is just as much a technology as anything else. It is one of the first, I hope, of many chats I will have around the arts as technology for the podcast. Welcome, Muhammad, and really lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Why are you trying to make me cry this hour today? It's about the sun. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Patrick! I'm doing an interview, boy. You want to check me back in about a little bit now? All right. All right. My neighborhood is full of homeless people and drug addicts and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And they know my house very well. So at any given point in time, Uh-huh. This is the place to be.
The Mantra Free Tongue Collective is still everywhere is free. Mm-hmm. This is really inspiring. How did Free Tongue Collective come about?
You know, we really don't have an accurate idea of our history. There's so many pockets of things that were never recorded because the colonials never deemed them to be important. So why would they record them? And even the ones that were recorded, when they weren't deemed important, they were kind of tucked away. So somewhere about 11 or 12 years ago, I discovered that Belmont, which is where I live, was actually a part of a larger community called Freetown. And it was so named by a group of Africans who came here from West Africa in the mid-1800s. And they came as indentured workers, not as enslaved people. They had contracts that were signed, and they had their own money that they came with. And one of the first things they did when they got here was buy land. And the land that they bought stretched from what we know as Picton in Port of Spain, just on the outskirts of the center of the city, all the way over through Gonzales into Belmont. And, you know, when I found that piece of history out, it was so powerful to me. It felt sad. I felt empowered. I felt all kinds of things at the same time. And I looked around my community and I said, you know, this can't be what my ancestors intended. You know, like I just said to you, so many homeless people and drug addicts and all kind of madness going on in this community, as well as many good things, of course. But the things that those things that are happening couldn't be what my ancestors intended. So I said, I think it's my job to rebuild it. But how do you start rebuilding something that's that massive, you know? And you start with yourself. So I began to kind of look at my own life and try my best to live by those ideas. It's been a long, long road. Still doing it, still trying. But to find other people who are on that same path and to extend the circle as wide as we can. So when we say until everywhere is free, that's what we're talking about. That ideal that our ancestors had, that in the middle of all the chaos and the colonialism, that they would create their own space of freedom. And so that every single person becomes in and of themselves a free town. And when they meet other people, they can free them as well. So until everywhere is free.
That's lovely. I know my family comes from the Americans, who were free slaves. Right. You know about them, mm-hmm. who won their freedom fighting and, mm-hmm. and got land, but they were in South Trinidad. I mean, yes. These histories are so fascinating, but rarely told and not in the education system. How do you think we can better teach these histories to all young people?
Those of us who have any level of influence, those of us who have the ability to broadcast, we have to share these things every now and then. We have to make them points of importance. I thought it so important that I named, you know, I almost renamed my damn self because what would become synonymous with my own name, which is Freetown. And I speak about it all the time, as well as other things. You know, those of us who have the culture in our hands have to speak about what we think is important. And that's how it really begins, because we do influence the culture in major ways. We have to sing songs about it. We have to write poems about it. We have to dress about it. We have to eat about it. We have to, you know, everything mm-hmm. that we possibly can.
You know, one of the things I really admire about Freetown Collective the most is that you really, truly collaborate. You always collaborate with others. And you and the other members of Freetown always seem to speak your truth out of a place of love. Mm-hmm. And it's like if you're trying to connect us with your authentic self, but in a way that country, ethnicity, income doesn't matter, just humanity. Mm-hmm. And the energy between you and Lou Lyons and the others in the group is really, really lovely, really electric. So were you all friends before Freetown, or they just came into the group as you started developing it?
Lou and I met in 2005 one night. And you know when you meet somebody and you just hit it off immediately, there's just, you know, so we spoke all night that night. And then he disappeared for 4 years. I didn't know where the man was. And then I went to Tobago to perform. And when I finished performing, this person walked up and placed a Ethiopian cross necklace around my neck. And I was like, use that guy. He's like, yeah. I was like, use that guy. And well, we've been inseparable, I guess, since that day in 2009. Two of the supporting singers, Tishana and Malini, we were friends way before Freetown. And so when Freetown started, it really was just like bringing our family together in so many ways, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we mostly knew each other before. Even the DJ Raucous, we knew Raucous before as well.
Mm-hmm. And you are a poet. Mm-hmm. And I think the artistry of your poetry comes out in what I would call the technology of your music, because I don't think, I think art is also a technology. I love writing poetry too. And it's, I think sometimes I feel like I just have to write just to conceptualize what I'm thinking. And I even do it to help me do better research. And I heard that you did not actually start singing till really later on. How could you hide this gift from us for so long? How did you start singing?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, I stopped singing. I used to sing lead in the primary school choir.
Mm-hmm.
And I always give this story because I know that many people go through the same thing. My parents got divorced and I was living with my father. And I made a group of friends in the neighborhood where we were. It was a group of boys. I remember one night we were out in the field opposite my house. And they were trying to sing Boyz II Men on Bended Knees or something. And I started singing at the top of my voice. Now, my voice hadn't broken just then. Voice was really high. And I closed my eyes and I was singing and then they started laughing at me. And when I opened my eyes and I realized they were laughing at me, I never sang again. Mm-hmm. Then I got to secondary school and I tried to sing again, but I feel like I had lost my confidence. And it wasn't until I was 26 years old, 25 years old, I picked up a guitar and decided that I was going to try to sing. I always used to feel like singing was the realm of people who just born to sing, you know, like you just born with an amazing voice and an amazing talent. But for anyone out there who's listening to this who wants to sing, anyone can sing. I believe that to be true. It's a muscle like anything else. If you train it, it will get better, you know. Mm. And some of the greatest quote-unquote singers of the world really didn't have those great big voices. They really were just griots whose story was so compelling that they chose the most powerful form that they could tell it in because they needed to reach their people. But it's not always about the runs and the belting and all those things, which is fine. It's wonderful. But in my opinion, it's far more important what you have to say.
I saw God Loves the Fighter on Apple TV recently, and I really loved it. I think that, you know, you were talking about the community you live in. Was it shot around there? It was shot in Eastport of Spain, right?
It was shot all over, man. But mostly in and around Eastport of Spain.
It was really shot
everywhere.
During the state of emergency too, right?
It started there. Yeah, so that movie, the original plan was to shoot it in 10 days. 10 days turned to 3 months. 3 months turned into a year. A year turned into almost a full 2 years and more before it was actually done. It took a lot out of everyone involved. You know, it really is a labor of love. It was shot with no budget and just real love from everybody involved, you know. So big up Damien Marcano and Alexa Marcano and everybody who was a part of that.
Well done for no budget because I really loved it. And it really took us to a part of Trinidad and Tobago that we don't usually see unless we live there. But it's important to know and to know about, you know, the humanity in all of our country, not just in one part, but everywhere, because it's all interconnected.
It came from a quote, not the entire movie, everything, but it was largely inspired. The name for the movie was inspired from a quote where basically I said, you know, if God loves the prayerful penitent, then he must also love the one who is fighting, you know what I mean? The one who life is coming at them in ways, but they never go under. They never give up. God loves the fighter.
Really beautiful.
So, yeah.
I heard you talk about how you think sound changes the molecular structure of water. That was in another podcast. And that because humans comprise mostly of water, music can change us as we listen to it.
Yeah.
I thought that was really lovely to hear. And I mean, I know of other research that shows how music changes our brains, our behavior, our mood. There's new research into binaural beats. Mm-hmm. There's musical therapy. Mm-hmm. How do you consider the science behind the music that you make, that make us feel?
Everyone knows Bob says, you know, there's a natural mystic blowing through the air. If you listen carefully now. But that comes from a quote where he says, they say with age comes wisdom, but there's a natural mystic blowing through the air. Meaning that wisdom is there for everyone to access. Now, a lot of times when we think about wisdom, we think about wisdom in a very hard and concrete way. Mm-hmm. You know, quotes from Confucius and Nietzsche, whoever else, right? But there's a wisdom that's so simple that it heals everything. It knows already what you need, and it will give you what you need if you tune into it. The beautiful thing about music is that wisdom is contained in music. It's contained in the very vibration and the power of the word sound of music. And so what music does is, as a medicine, it penetrates without question, without asking. And depending on what kind of music it is, it searches for the breaks in the person. It searches for the illness. It searches for the areas of tension and pressure. And it releases them without the person really asking it. Mm-hmm. You know? It does that. It's that powerful. It searches for the places that are sad. It searches for the places that are happy and enlightens them even more. It forces all this light into you if it's intended in the right way, of course. And that's mm-hmm. the technology of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of the reasons why for me I switched over from doing spoken word into music, because a poem in a way still has to ask permission. You have to sit down and listen to it or choose to read it. But a song could be playing 3 times over in the background. You're not even paying any attention to it. And then 6 hours later, you're singing that song word for word and you didn't even realize it was playing 6 hours earlier. You know, that's the depth of it. And for me, when I examined it, that was the kind of healing that we needed. So here we are. And I always do this exercise when I'm, like, I go to schools. So I'll play a minor chord. I'll play. And then I'll ask the kids, I'll be like, what do you feel? And they'll say, so sad, so, you know, just from a chord. I didn't say anything. And say anything, and then I'll play a major. You don't have to, it could be a baby. You don't have to tell somebody what to feel when they hear that, or how, you know, music is instructive and it's healing and all that. Yeah, so
usually people say, at least in my conversations, sometimes that, you know, all of the stress that we go through is normal, it couldn't change. There'll always be suffering. It's just sometimes what spectrum of that suffering you are on and all of this type of stuff. So I fundamentally fight back against that. And it seems that you do too. And then you have a song I love that's called Normal. Mm-hmm. And I like that it's fighting against the perception that all of the ills and the suffering that we have in the world, we have to accept that we should not be accepting that as normal. Yeah. And you seem to be emphasizing these types of spiritual principles. How did you come to this? Was it from just your experience growing up?
I have always had this extreme yearning to know. Mm-hmm. My father would tell me stories about me asking him 100,000 questions when I was a child. Hmm. I want to know why and how and why and how and why. Why should we accept anything? Mm-hmm. Why should we come into the world and accept anything on face value, knowing that for hundreds of years there have been people who have benefited off of our own subjugation, and therefore our worldview is a tool, or can be made into a tool by which we are again subjugated and used. Mm-hmm. And so to fight is to fight for your worldview. To fight, you know, in the words of Arundhati Roy, another world is not only possible. She's coming, and on these silent nights, I can hear her breathing or something like
oh
that.
Oh my goodness, I love that quote so much.
It's an amazing quote, right?
Yes. I love it.
Of course, there will always be inequality, and there will always be people who are inclined to oppression. And we're not saying that we're dreaming of some sort of utopia. Human spirit is endowed with its dark and its light for a reason. There's a reason why there's Oshun energy and Oya energy. There's a reason why there's Kali energy and other kinds of energy. You know what I mean?
Mm.
There's a reason for Kali and there's Lakshmi. But I think that one of the greatest tragedies of the system as it stands is that it robs all of us of our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find it particularly unimaginative when someone tells me that things are the way they are.
Me too.
Before there were airplanes, people couldn't fly. Before there were light bulbs, there was no light. Before there was electricity, there wasn't. And there only was because somebody dreamed it. Nothing is, but it was once a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So the power of our imagination is what takes us to where we want to go. And we've used it for so many other things. You know, we've used it to break the hold of gravity and go into space. You're telling me that we can't balance inequality on the earth? No, we don't want to. It doesn't benefit the ruling class of people. And therefore, it's not going to happen in that way. You know, for instance, the Caribbean Federation fell apart because of politics.
Mm-hmm.
But Freetown has been very clear that we see a Caribbean Federation possible through the artists.
Mm-hmm.
We could do it. You know, we can do it. We can set the way. And for everyone who says, you know, there'll always be poverty, there'll always, okay, you just make sure that there's no suffering next to you that you can fix but don't. Whatever you can fix, you fix that. And let's just start there. Whatever you could try to fix without running yourself ragged and diminishing your own quality of life to a point where you can't enjoy yourself, you fix that. And let's start there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But don't just sit and tell me that things are the way they are. That's lazy and unimaginative.
It is indeed. I'd say that just about every song that you do talks about some kind of social or economic issue, either through the music or in the videos. In the video Space for a Heart, which seems to be a love song to me, there was a homeless man finding love again. So I was just curious, what was the meaning behind this beautiful song and this beautiful video? It seems like there might have been something going on, the reasoning why you presented what you presented.
Well, the song was for someone that I loved very much. Not with her anymore. But it was written, you know, literally those words. Those words are some of the truest words I've ever sung. You know, you're going along in life thinking, just like we said before, this is what it is. And then something happens to you or someone happens to you. And you realize, oh, life is so much more than I thought. So that's the explanation behind the song. The video, I have a real soft spot for the ones on the edges, you know, who nobody notices. I try to see them as best as I can. And they all have a story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me one time the easiest thing to find in Trinidad is a derelict genius. And I believe that to be true. Everyone has their stories, you know. Everyone has some really, really deep stories that they would tell if anybody would listen to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was thinking of Space for a Heart, the story of this man who had lost his woman and went mad and got this notion in his head that if he built this boat, he could go and find her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just came to me. And yeah, we shot it.
Wow, it's a beautiful song and a beautiful video. How are you coping with not being able to perform live right now to your residents? And I am a resident. I love that you call your fans residents.
The residents of Freetown, for sure. How are we coping? One thing that we've always been good at in Freetown is rolling with the punches, right? We don't fight life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's foolishness. You don't fight life. You can't. You never win. You fight time. You look at your time you're living in and you decide what you're trying to do and you move within the stream of time. There is nothing else. So anything else is madness. And so, you know, we had this big song this year and then Jase, stay home. Jase don't go nowhere. Sit down right there. you know, because all this time you're saying that you're doing it for this reason and you're doing it for that reason. Well, let me see if you're really doing it for this reason and that reason, or if it is you're really looking to get famous and run up all over the world and thing. Let me see if you could still smile and call my name and write beautiful music and feed people and things. Let me see, or if you're going to be ungrateful now, you know. And in the words of Job, we say, well, he's my father in the good times and in when things are hard, you know, I praise him the same way. So for us, it has been a wonderful time to journey inward. And the blessings keep flowing, thank God. You know, there's so much that's happening still for us. And we planned and we saved and we did some good things in the times of plenty. So we're not too badly off. So we have the time now to reflect and to create a stronger unit and come out better on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that it's been a tough time for a lot of people, but I think a lot of people have been making it tougher for themselves by pretending to hold out until the world that they know of returns.
Mm-hmm.
That world is not coming back.
I think so too. Your music transcends carnival. And this year, they say there's not going to be carnival, at least not in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. How do you think carnival celebrations can better adapt or reinvent itself in the socially distanced world? And I mean, I think it's important given the social, it's important to have some celebration given this in some way, even if we can't physically meet because of the social, the economic, the psychological toll of COVID. I mean, I had so much nostalgia watching the Feel the Love video that you just launched. So much nostalgia. Yeah. I loved it.
Thank you. There are a lot of people doing a lot of things all over the world regarding concerts and the quarantine and everything, right? I think the worst thing that we could try to do at this point in time is try to get back to where we were, you know, and try to pretend like it. Things are the way they are, and they are the way they are for a reason. We're not here just because, right? We're here for a reason. It's for a reason. I think the best thing we could do is to chill out a little bit and look and see. Now, I know that financially, a lot of people depend on carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that there are alternatives that the government can come up with for fets and stuff and performances, live performances, to make things a lot more friendly. I think that if they put their minds to it, I've seen some very, very interesting things in terms of concerts. I've seen bubble concerts. I've seen all kind of thing happen. It's possible, you know, isolating people in different tents, creating all kinds of things are possible if people really want to do something. So, you know, we are powerful minds. We could put our minds to it and make something happen if we want to.
You are a musician, but I would also say you're an entrepreneur. How do you think entrepreneurship can be supported in this internet economy? I actually studied digital platforms in Trinidad and Tobago for my thesis, and I wondered what your thoughts were on this.
Building a base that supports you in thick and thin is something really important that I think a lot of artists kind of jump over, hoping to get that big break, you know? So they put out the kind of music that they feel will attract big attention. They jump over the support part. And it's one of the downfalls, I think, even within soca music, is that people support soca music and sometimes don't really support soca artists. So an artist will give their life and give you all these hits and all these memories. And then if they don't have a song for 2 years, then all of a sudden they don't exist anymore. They fall off or whatever. People like Kes have done a really good job at creating a fan base that moves with them regardless of what. They'll give them the music and they love the music, whether it's a big hit in carnival or not. And that's the ground for any sort of, well, not any, but for some sort of digital entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. You know, if it is you're selling things, people have to want to buy them. Mm-hmm. So they either need to be necessary or needed. That's the way to do that, to develop a fan base that you care about, not fake, but really care about, and they care about you, you know? And that takes time, that takes time. That's the only way I know how. I don't know no other how. I'm trying to find other ways of doing it.
Uh-huh.
You know, our fan base really supports us, really, really, really supports us. We're about to launch our web store, our merchandise and stuff. They really support us, and we appreciate that. Right now, we're looking into venturing outside of that and investing more. But as of now, I can't really speak to further investments other than that. As an artist, my investment is in the people that I claim to represent.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that the algorithms work in your favor in terms of helping people to find you? Is it, you know, do you have like special expertise there trying to put that system, because things change all the time?
Yeah, and I don't have thick ties. You know, I ain't showing all our skin and thing. No, I don't think it does. I don't think the algorithm works in favor of positivity at all. It works in favor of what sells quickly, what gets the most attraction. And what gets the most attraction quickly is the base desires, right? The base chakra things. Jinjin and bad, you know, we love that too. But it works in favor of that. But that's, with that said, we've not done badly at all. And I'm very, very happy with where we are and where we're heading. But if we're talking algorithm, the algorithm is lazy. The algorithm favors certain parts. Yeah. You see people post amazing art, and you go on their page and you're like, "How you know?" You know, and then they'll have a video of cats playing pianos and they'll have 4 million views. So one thing I always warn people about is really judging yourself by that standard. You know, all you have to think about is, you know, there are people like Salam Remy who don't have no 100 million followers and things, but have given us some of the greatest music that we know. You know what I mean? And then you go to some other profiles and things, and it's just somebody, I don't know. They're doing whatever they're doing. That might be of lesser human value.
Playing the system.
Might be, but they play the system, you know? You have to stay true to yourself, because after all of this is gone, and it will go, because there'll be another platform, there'll be another thing. You know, TikTok is already happening. This is going to evolve and evolve until we no longer do this. It's going to be something that exists in the real frame. And the most important thing is to remain yourself, I think.
Mm-hmm. Someone wrote in one of the comments to the Lightman video, which they said something I really liked. They said in the song, it says, you sing, "We can't pay the Lightman with a song." And he added, "Maybe not, but it just might save the world." I quite like that. Mm.
Wow, I didn't read that.
Oh, it's a nice one, you should. I find, you just mentioned a musician. What's their name, the musician you mentioned?
Well, he's a producer. Salam
a producer, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I find that there are not as many modern day artists that speak to political and economic issues through music, at least not like before. Maybe... I don't know as many as you would, because I'm not in the music industry, and I'm not as keyed up as I should be. But if that is the case, this seems quite ironic, given the current climate. I mean, in the past, there's been so many musicians and artists that use their art to help bring about change. Are there any musicians that you like that speak about these types of issues?
Yeah. There's a young musician in China. Her name is Annalie Prime. Uh-huh. Amazing.
Okay,
what do you think? Yeah, look for Annalie Prime. You will lose your mind.
Uh-huh.
It's a young Trinidadian artist by the name of Kutane. You have Jazzy Blaze, Rion Elborn, Jalano. There's a lot, you know. And some of them singing badness tune, same way. You know, some of them, but in between there are lots of positivity and good intention, you know. There are artists who are doing it. The thing is that the youths have not been, this type of music hasn't been incentivized. And so the ones who base their lives and their careers around it have to see themselves almost as pioneers again, right? Again. Following in the footsteps of those who pioneered, obviously, but now the world has found itself in a cycle where this isn't the predominant music. It isn't what everyone is listening to. But enough people are listening to it that it can be sustainable. And if you do it just right, if you find the balance, you know, which is what we've been trying to do for a long time, and I now get into that point where I feel we are finding the balance. If you find the balance between the mundane and the spiritual, you find the balance between the bongs and the message, you know, something really amazing can happen. You know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this pandemic currently? Do you think that is actually going to lead to reorganization and reprioritization of what is most important? I mean, I ask you this knowing that we can't really tell the future. But if so, how do you think we as individuals and communities could better contribute to that change? You referenced some things earlier on, but I just wondered if you had any more thoughts on that.
Capitalism is what it is, you know. That's not going to change. They, regardless of where the world finds itself, they'll find a way to sell something. You know, I have this vision sometimes of sometime 100 million years from now when we really mess up the ozone layer and thing, and the sun just peeks through in patches, you know, and they begin to predict where those patches, the sun peeks through, and they'll have wars over that, and they'll sell it, and they'll find some way to bottle sunlight. Like, it doesn't matter what happens. Mm-hmm. They'll find a way to capitalize on it, right? And so in that way, there's no changing. Nothing changes unless people change themselves. Mm-hmm. And so for anybody who wants change, I mean, look at what you're doing. What are you doing? You know, I mean, how are you ushering that change into the world? And these things sound very airy-fairy to some people. They sound very up in the air, but it's the most true thing that you could ever really, really think about. You don't want there to be hatred in the world, then don't hate. You want there to be love in the world, then love more. You want there to be sweetness in the world, you be sweet. You want there to be music in the world, and you want it to be good music, and you think you know what good music is, put good music in the world. Go ahead and you be about what you say you are about, you know? That's the only thing, you know, there are varying forms that could take, obviously, but that is where it is, you know? And sometimes the world is so inauthentic or feels so inauthentic that when you begin on a quest like that, you yourself could feel like if you're faking, like, who I really think I am, you know? Mm-hmm. But you have to persist. You have to persist beyond that imposter syndrome and become.
Well, I have never seen you perform live. I hope to see you in Trinidad and Tobago in a better and COVID-free 19 world. Be assured that not just me, but many others can feel the love from Freetown Collective in the air, even if we are all the way over here. Thank you, Muhammad.
I've been doing this song on my midnight lives. I do some midnight lives from time to time. Every time I jump on the live, people just want to hear this song.
Really?
Yeah.
You are dearer to me than all the stars. So many wish but never reach. Because when I've fallen and all the world seems dark, you help me find my peace. In the still of the night, I lay listening to you breathe. People search for heaven all their lives. How lucky am I? Heaven's breathing next to me. How lucky am I? Heaven's breathing next to me. Oh, shun me ba, bijani. Oh, shun me ba, miba, aye. Oh, shun me ba, miba, bijani. Arumita. So many wish but never reach. 'Cause when I'm falling and all the world seems dark.